Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
All right. This morning, Alyssa and I were getting fired up for a service. She was listening to Hillsong. I was listening to Eminem, and we're ready. We're ready to go, man. It's cool to see Karen and Nathan here. Great to have y'all, as always. Neat to see some extended family. This morning, Dale, if you could help me, we'll have a plate in the back. We've just seen a cool impact with some men from the rescue mission. Got a couple of those guys here with us this morning. Would you guys just stand to your feet? It's kind of cool to see them. Got them here in the back. Cody, go ahead, brother. Stand up in the back. So we've got a few. Yeah. You guys can have a seat. I just want to say a special thank you to Joe and Bobby Psalms. Every Sunday, they drive to Marion, to the rescue mission, pick up these guys, come back so they can worship with them, and then drive them back after the service, making multiple trips every week, just so these guys can continue to worship with us. We've got this plate here in the back, and we want to continue to help. The rescue mission is a partner of ours. We give to them every month, but if anybody would love to give extra, we want to make sure that we're intentional and pouring into these guys. In particular, Cody is looking at getting connected into a drug rehab program, and we want to help him. And so if you have a dollar, you've got a five, you got any change, you've got any money that you want to invest, if you want to write a check to Fairmount Friends, just in the memo, put a rescue mission. If you want to just put cash, that would be great as well. But there's an awesome opportunity here to love on some awesome men that are seeing an impact with their lives. Last week, Bobby and I went to one of the graduations, a graduation ceremony, and Randy, our guy, Randy's kind of our mascot for the rescue mission. He wrote and performed one of his songs, and we're hoping to get him here to sing that song as well. But just powerful stuff. So if you can give, we'd love to have you give to that. We're going to continue. Yeah? Carl, I'm so sorry. Yeah, geez. Good morning, church. Thanks, Rick. Oh, geez. This morning, we're going to continue on our stewardship series. And last week, we talked about time. This week, we're going to talk about our talents. And next week, we're going to talk about our treasure, our time, talents, and treasure. And how do we steward those before the Lord? Just a quick recap of last week is time, over the course of a lot of time, is the makeup of your life. All 15 minutes add upon each other and stack up to 100 years, right? And so how do I handle these hours and these days and these weeks really is one of the most important things that you will ever do on the face of the earth outside of loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength and loving your neighbor as you would yourself. How we steward this thing called life and time, I believe, is one of the highest priorities upon us. And what we do with our life is going to forever echo in eternity. We're going to give an account for our lives, and what do we do with the time given to us? And so we talked about the stewardship. And steward simply means one who takes care of something that does not belong to them. I'm taking care of a thing that is not mine, but when they come back, I will give that back to them, right? Hopefully in the same condition, if not in better condition, is what a steward would do. And one of these days, we're going to give an account for our lives and saying, this life is not my own. I have laid it down in service to another, one who is much higher than I am. And so I'm going to return this life back to another. And as today we focus in on our talents and how we steward the giftings that God has given us. And I don't want you to start thinking, man, he's going to talk about, you know, stewarding our giftings, and so now he wants us to sign up for a committee. No, we need us to maximize our talents outside of the four walls of the church. I hope that we are awesome inside of the church, but God is not primarily committed to making our church services cool. He is primarily committed to restoring all of creation and the redemption of mankind, and he's given all of us a skill set. He's given all of us a gift mix. He's given us interests and passions for us to invest our lives into, to develop some sort of a competency and a skill out in the marketplace to be the light, like a city on a hill, out in the world. Okay, there's 140 people that know what we're doing right now. We're all in here. We need millions of people to know what we're doing in here by going to work with them every day, by showing up at the grocery store with them every day, by meeting and engaging them in our schools and our local governments and all of our other, you know, ways that we can get the church outside of the four walls of the building. And so as we focus here this morning, do not think that we're going to have some sort of a hook of we need you to volunteer, all right? We want you to get after it in life. What are the passions that God has given me? Where do I want to invest my time? It's good that I steward it, but where can I focus it to say, man, this is what God has, he's called me to, and I'm good at it, and I can have influence and impact in these areas. I do not just want to exist in my life. I want to make an impact with my life. And so let's talk about what God could be calling us to. In Psalm chapter 24, in verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He has found it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. God owns it all, right? And he is committed to the restoration of it all. And God's vision is bigger than Fairmount Friends at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings. He is committed to you on Monday morning. And Monday through Friday is just as important, if not more important, than what you're doing even now. It's not just showing up to attend a church service. It's to make an impact with your life. You're going to do this approximately 50 times this year. The other 300 days of the year matter significantly in what we're doing with our lives and what God has called us, our hands, to do with these lives. He owns it all, and so he's committed to seeing us through and to get us out of this door and to hit the market and to hit medicine and to hit law and government and education and business and all of these areas where he wants to see little Christians, little Christ-like people deploying the crafts that God has equipped us to do, right? And to be engaged and to be involved. One of my favorite people on the planet, a good friend, is Aaron Vogel, and he is in the restaurant industry. And for him, when his restaurant is District Donuts. They make donuts. He's been here before. Y'all remember whenever Aaron spoke. And they make donuts the size of your face, and they're a work of art. And he was talking to me about the difference between Krispy Kreme and District Donuts. And you can buy an entire dozen of Krispy Kreme donuts for, I think, $3.99 is something like what it is. And he says, and he took me to a Krispy Kreme, and he's like, you know, take a bite of this. And he's like, tell me what you think. Like, do like a taste profile. And I'm like, oh, it's just so good. And he's like, it's disgusting. It's flour and water. And I'm like, yeah, but it's kind of coming around on a conveyor belt, and that's kind of cool too. And so he tells me, he said, what we do is we pay someone like $11, $12 an hour to show up at 4 a.m. in the morning to show up at our kitchen to hand make our batter. And we're stirring it, and we make our own jelly jam, and we make all of our own different concoctions, and this whole thing is this work of art. And then we have our own different tools that we have to buy and pay extra money to kind of dig out the inside of the donut, and then we fill it full of our homemade, you know, battered box of yummy goodness, right? And he says, the amount of money that we have in this donut, and they'll charge like $3 and $4 for a donut. And so what you can get for an entire dozen, you can buy at his for one. And it's this work of art, and it's taken New Orleans by storm. People are losing their minds. They've got three locations now. They just opened in Las Vegas in the Cosmopolitan Hotel. People are going bonkers right now over this thing. And not because of just the ingredients, but the care that they gave to the craft of what God has just called them to. They just love food. They love it. They love preparing food. I love food. They love preparing food. And they've just gotten so good at this craft. And I'll tell you what it has done is it's created and elevated a platform for them. And I want to encourage you that excellence equals impact. It just does. And to the degree that you will pursue whatever the God has equipped your hands to, you will not only get better at a certain skill set, you'll actually have a bigger voice to speak into other arenas. And so let's not just be bad at our jobs. Let's not be just average. Let's be awesome at what God has called us to do with our craft and our skills so that we can make the biggest impact as possible. Amen? Is that a good idea or is that just dumb? Like, that's, dude, bro, bad idea. I think we want to get better at this thing, and it needs to leave the church. Let's not just be good at doing church stuff. Let's be good at doing whatever we're supposed to be doing out there, right, outside of these four walls. Abraham Kuyper, he was a man that lived in the 1800s into the 1900s. He was a Dutchman, and if you ain't Dutch, you ain't much. And Abraham Kuyper was this Dutch statesman, politician, sort of a guy. And from 1901 to 1905, he served as one of the noblemen, and he was one of the, in Netherlands, he was the prime minister. He says this. He says, there is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. I love it. There is not a square inch in all of the earth where a sovereign God does not declare, that is mine. And so the whole dichotomy of sacred and secular, I have a sacred job, and everybody else has a secular job. No, I think all things are sacred. I think all things belong to the foot of Jesus. I believe that all things are going to bow at his throne, and everything's going to give an account to the Lord. All of this is from him. It's through him. It's back to him. And so not only do we want more people to help serve in the nursery, we need more people serving in nursing homes. Not only just more people serving on our flower committee, and I hope that we have an awesome flower committee. Thank you to everybody that's committing our flowers. But I hope that we have somebody who has a passion for horticulture to go maximize it outside of these four walls and to make an impact with that. More people that are rocking and rolling with grocery stores, and that Verlin has a voice, right? Because he is the top dog to be able to speak into employees. And whenever you're hired here, you've encountered a man of God. And I'm going to impact you, and I'm going to speak life to you, and I'm going to tell you who you are. I'm going to call you up, right? As a man leading your home, as a woman that's nurturing your children, right? There's an impact that you can make. I want Verlin to serve in our church, but I hope that Verlin serves in the grocery store and makes kingdom impact right there. I want Aaron Caudill to have the best gas station ever. If I'm outside of Fairmount, I'll put like half of a gallon in my car just to get back to Fairmount so I can buy gas from Aaron Caudill. Right. I want to promote, right? I want to bless this guy. He's a man of God. I want to sow into whatever this guy is doing, and I hope that he is being a kingdom man and that he's pouring life into his people, not necessarily in a church context, in a sacred context right across the street from here. It's sacred what he's doing. Every day. What you do every day absolutely matters. What Todd is doing at Chrysler absolutely matters every day. And for the men that he's got around him, they started a 9:05 prayer group. Is that what you guys do? At 9:05, we know that we're come off for a break. We're all getting together. And at 9:05, we're all praying together. Isn't that cool? And so, man, I hope that they make awesome cars and products, and I'm driving one, so please make it good. But while you're there, while you're in your place that God has called you to, bring the kingdom of God to that place. Maximize what God has called you to And it's not a sacred-secular dichotomy. All of it is sacred unto the Lord. Every time that you wake up and your feet hit the floor, you are on a mission for the kingdom to maximize and to steward the talents that God has given you. So it's not just about a church setting. It is about Jesus lovers that are caught up with something much higher than church attendance or even just turning a profit. While I'm turning this profit, I am trying to be a prophet of God here in the marketplace. In Matthew chapter 25, flip there with me, if you will. Matthew chapter 25, we see Jesus tell a story about the parable of the talents. Talents can also be, in other translation, maybe it says a bag of gold, or maybe it says denaries. Denaries was just a certain weight of gold. In just a little bit of research that I found, it's about 8 pounds, one bag was about 8 pounds of silver is how they would measure this. It's about 8 pounds of silver. And some have said that that the payment that they would have gotten to watch over this master's property would have been the payment of about 16 years of a wage. The guy that got five bags of denaries or shekels or talents is what we see. So I'll tell you the story. There's this master who's getting ready to leave, and he's going to go on a far-off journey, and he calls three servants to him. To one he gives five talents, to one he gives three talents, and to another one he gives one talent based upon their abilities. And he leaves, and he goes to a far-off country, and he says, I want you to steward this while I'm gone. Whenever I come back, I want you to give an account for what you have done. The king's gone for a while, and he eventually comes back, and he says, all right, let's give an account. To the one that I gave five talents, what have you done with it? And he says, Master, you gave me five talents. I put it to work, and I came back, and I've got five more. Now I have 10. And he goes, job well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been entrusted with five and you've grown it to 10. Come and enter into your master's happiness. Come on in to the kingdom. He comes back to the next guy who he gave three, and he says, what have you done with the three talents that I've given you? And he says, your master, you gave me three. Look, I've grown it. I put it to work. I've grown it, and now you have three more. He says, job well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your father's happiness. To the one that he gave one talent, he says, what have you done with the one talent? And he says, Master, I was afraid. And so I took the talent that you had and I buried it into the ground because I know that you are a hard man. You reap where you have not even sown. You're freaky, man. You do supernatural stuff. You didn't even sow and you get a harvest. I was afraid whenever you gave me something. I was freaked out. I didn't know what to do. And so I just took it and I buried it into the ground. But look, I dug it back up and here it is. You can have your talent back. And the master says, you wicked and lazy servant. You've been entrusted with something that you just didn't get busy with it. And he says, this guy who has nothing, even take from him what he already has and kick him out in the streets where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Everyone else, come on in and enjoy your father's happiness. This parable is an exciting parable and it's a terrifying parable. He also says to those that have been faithful with little will be entrusted with much. And those who have been unfaithful or haven't stewarded well the little, that they will not be entrusted, and actually what they have will be taken from them. I want to encourage us, what are the things that God has gifted you or given you talents with? Maybe you're a five talent in some things. Maybe you're a three talent. Maybe you're a one talent. And instead of getting some sort of an identity crisis or that everybody else is fives and you're a one, start hustling that one and getting after that one and saying, Lord, whatever you have given to me, I want to steward well. I want to focus on this craft. I want to develop it and get a skill set to where you would actually reward me with more. And now I'm at two. And then I would take those two talents and I would only continue to scale this thing and get better and pour in and invest. And as I steward it well and I'm faithful with the little, you would make me ruler over much. And I would go from two to four and from four to eight. It looks like the math is just doubling here. Fascinating, what Jesus is calling us to steward well whatever he's been given. And I would just say this, as the Bible would say it, to mismanage your time, talent, and treasures is wicked and lazy. It's not me, it's Matthew 25 that says that. To mismanage the things that he has given us, there's some heart that's not righteous before the Lord. It's just not right. And it's just lazy to not get after that craft that he's called us to get after. So I want to just share with you 3 points on this. Number one is we need clarity of the call, don't we? Man, what am I called to? What is my skill set? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? In Matthew 16:19, it says that God desires to give us the keys to the kingdom. He's not getting jolly sitting up in heaven by you being completely clueless what to do with your life. He's not, look at them. They don't have a clue. This is awesome. That's not the God that we serve. His desire is to reveal, to give you the keys of the kingdom, to have access points, to make a difference in the kingdom of God. And I believe by clarifying the call, I just believe that clarity is king. Whenever there's fog in my head and whenever I just can't see properly, it's like I just don't know what direction I'm heading. But man, when there is clarity, I know who I am. I know what I'm called to, then I can double down, I can triple down on getting after that call. And so perhaps for some of you, you're like, man, 60 years later, I'm still figuring it out. Great, with modern medicine, you still got 30, 40 years ahead of you. It's okay. God, maximize the days that I still have ahead of me. Teach me to count the days. Teach me to make the days count that you have given me. I want to steward well my time and give me clarity on what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. I pray this often. Jesus, I pray that your voice would be louder than all of the other voices around. Because if I get distracted and I do this a little bit and I do this a little bit and I never really laser in on the call that God has called me to do. And it's just death by distraction. I'm distracted with this a little bit. I say yes to about 12 different things, and I never get super centered on those 2 or 3 things that I could be really skilled and talented at. But my talent gets so diversified and watered down, it never can get focused. I've heard it said that the man who rides 2 horses loses both of them. Or the man who hunts 2 rabbits goes hungry. Sometimes we just need to get really focused on this is why I'm on the planet. I know why I'm on the planet, and it's to do this, and to focus those skill sets. Maybe it's in our farming, and to get really excellent at being awesome at that, and also believing that God, as I get really good at this, would you give me a platform? Would you increase my influence? And with that influence, Lord, I want to be the mouthpiece of heaven. Not an influence so that I can be awesome, so that I can attain something, so that I can get more merits on the wall and more plaques and trophies. Come on, that stuff just collects dust. It's cool for about 15 minutes. What you want is impact for all of eternity. That lasts forever. I want to know and I want to be good at it, at what I'm called to do. And his book, do I have that book? Kathy, can you hand me that book right there? Love Does. Bob Goff, he writes this story, thank you. He writes this story in here, and in the 4th chapter, he starts off with this quote, and he says, I used to be afraid at failing at something that really mattered to me, but now I'm more afraid at succeeding at things that don't matter. Are we awesome at stuff that just doesn't matter? I don't want to be awesome at things that don't matter. God, clarify the call. What am I supposed to do on the planet? Why am I here? Let me really lock in and don't let me get so distracted and become really good at things that don't matter. Mark me. Put your voice so loud in my spirit that I cannot hear all the other voices. I know who I am and I know what I'm called to. When the call gets clarified, life gets really, really good. Point number 2 here, I'll tell you this. Love the person directly in front of you. Just love the next person. that's in front of you. I'll tell you, whenever you head off to work tomorrow, whenever you head off to the grocery store, love the person in front of you. Whenever you head off to wherever you're going, the wellness center, love the person in front of you. Whenever you're heading off to the Y, love the person in front of you. Whenever that person cuts you off on the road, love that person that's now in front of you. Take your love to the marketplace, not just to the church. Let's not just congratulate ourselves and slap each other on the back and be happy here. Let's take our joy outside of this place. Let's take our skills. And you know what? I believe that joy is a skill. It can be developed. It can be grown inside of you. We can start working on transforming the human heart. We can start having better people skills to engage with people, to be very mindful and intentional for people. I was sharing a story at one of our nursing facilities about there was this one of our employees that was there and just started talking to him right before Christmas about what's going on in their heart and in their life. And they start sharing, I've got 3 children, man rolled out, I'm doing it all by myself. I have this part-time job. I'm also a QMA where I'm passing meds on the floor. I'm working crazy overtime hours. Our furnace just went out. I can't pay for it. And Christmas was coming up. And she's sharing all this. I mean, tears were coming out 3 different ways from her eyeballs. I mean, just she had to be dehydrated after this. The amount of liquid that was draining out of her body, just a mess. And how many of y'all know we need to take the Holy Spirit to work? And the Holy Spirit just hits me, just drops in my spirit. And I said, I would love for our company, for our church to be a part of. We want to help provide Christmas for you. She loses it. She has to stand up. She turns around. She can't even look at me. Sobs, deep, deep years of sobs of I'm in this alone. I'm all by myself. Is anybody in my corner? Will anybody advocate for me? Does anybody care? And I got little ones that are looking, and she's telling me we're providing food, and she's saying, you know, well, there'll be times where I'm feeding the 3 kids and we just don't have enough. And I'll tell them, hey, I ate beforehand. Hey, I'm fine. I'll be fine. To where she's not even eating dinner to make sure that her kids have enough. She's representing God. She's the provider, right, in her home. It's the same way that God is a provider. He's the protector. She is deploying the characters of God to her children. I said, I'm in your corner. I want to do this. She can't handle it. How many of y'all know that sometimes love is overwhelming? It's overwhelming. I share this story at one of our other nursing facilities, and they start bouncing around ideas. They say, okay, well, who's the person in front of us that we can love? Who's the person on the floor? Well, I got somebody on 300 hall. Hey, I got somebody on 100. We know somebody in rehab. And they start talking about all this stuff. Right there can kind of get all their thoughts together, and they say, okay, we're going to think of whoever, Becky, and we're getting her a bag of groceries. Who wants to donate? Yeah, we're going to do this. And hey, I know that her back car door is always unlocked. Don't know why they know that, but their back car door is always unlocked, and I can sneak these groceries into her car, and it's going to blow her mind. Yeah, okay. And we start brainstorming love. How can we start loving these people? When I show up to work, I'm not just here only to get a task done. I'm also here because there's a higher kingdom task of love that I'm going to dispense when I'm walking those halls. We're going to be the presence of God. We're going to bring the life of Christ everywhere we go. And it takes incredible intentionality. That stuff does not happen on accident. You got to intentionally have your mindset in higher ways. God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Elevate yourself. Come on, let's think like me whenever you hit the marketplace. Every day, we want to think and operate like someone else. And last point here, number 3. Gee whiz. I'm just getting through. Just go to the last page, right? Number 3. Excellence equals impact. Those, the Bible says, that have been faithful with what God has given, He gives you much. He gives you more and more and more and more and more, and there will be more impact and more influence as we handle well what He's given. God, I'm here at this place, in this job. How can I steward this moment well? And the skill set that you've given me, I want to be awesome in this moment. To be excellent at our craft and our skills. I'll tell you this. Whenever you get really good at something, you gain access to speak into other people's lives that are also in that arena. Let me explain. It's hard for me to receive health advice from somebody who's less healthy than me. It's hard for me to receive financial counsel from someone who's broke and in debt and not paying their bills. It's hard to take the counsel, but it's easy to take counsel, and I crave counsel from someone who is crushing it in their health, in their finances, in life. I'm hungry, right? As you get good at something, you're able to impact those that are coming up from behind, right? As you get good, and I just want to encourage you, steward your talents and get awesome. What are you doing? Get good at that. Develop it. Get hungry for it. And even if you're retired, there's so much. I'm not just talking about a job. I'm talking about life skills that you can just get really, really good at to invest your life into to make an impact, right? And you're only, as you grow, you're only going to gain an influence. You're not going to get less, only more impact. To steward our talents well. Quick recap. The master's handed out some passions, some interests, some skills, some talents. He's given this to all of us. To some, he's given 5, to some, 3, to some, 1. No matter where you are on that scale, you're called to steward them well, right? And to not on the end of that to say, man, you were just lazy. Even wicked with how you handled what I gave you. The master has called us to steward well. These talents are meant for the whole world. The whole world is the Lord's and those therein. We also know that clarity is king. Utilize these talents to love the next person that comes in front of you. Steward our talents. Become excellent at what God has given. Don't coast. Don't bury it. Grow those talents and increase with impact. As we close here this morning, I want you just to think, okay, what's the season of life that I'm in? What has God equipped my hands to do? Again, I'm not calling it a job. We're at whatever season of life you're in. And I am pretty good at this, this, and this. Maybe you're really skilled at cooking or baking or whatever. I would utilize that skill to reach your neighbor. If I happen to be your neighbor, I love chocolate chip cookies with raisins. Use it. And what that does is your gifts open doors for you. What is it? You're good at sewing quilts. Maximize that for the kingdom of God, and it'll begin to open doors, right? What are you good at? And say, Jesus, I just lay this on the altar. And Lord, I want you to utilize this. I know this is an act of worship with what you have given. Man, if you're a craftsman, man, start thinking, how can I bless? How can I help people restore? Maybe we've got some single moms here that's like, man, I just need some help around my house. Awesome. I'm sure we've got some skill and some talent. Say, hey, I would love to serve and help. We've got all kinds of widows around here that I'm begging, can we please serve you? You're so stubborn, some of you. You're strong farmers. What are some skills that we can come and help serve our church family? We can serve our community. Let's think. Let's get after it. Let's not be lazy with this stuff. And as you start deploying that stuff, he's only going to grow you and increase you. Amen. Would you all stand with me as we close this morning? Let's just pause and just think, what can I do? What can I do? There's a master, and he's looking down at me right now. He gave me some stuff, man. Let's just give an account to the Lord right now. And you say, God, I am just getting after it with my time, my talent, my treasure. Or would you say, God, I have been lazy. I've just been coasting. Maybe even parts of it I've just buried for a season. It's time to dig it up and start going for it. Lord, I just pray for witty inventions and creative ideas right now. Maybe it is our jobs Maybe it is our work. Maybe it's something creative outside of work, or if we're on the other side of our jobs now. Lord, what is it that you have given me that I can impact others? Lord, I pray that whatever this skill is, construction, that I would be the best at it. Whatever that skill is, it's car maintenance. Lord, I pray that they would be the best at it. Lord, I pray that your sons and daughters would shine at what you've called us to do. And through that, we would make kingdom impact in the life of so many other people around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.